I don't even know how to begin today's podcast because honestly, today's guest is one of the most elusive people on planet Earth. Her name is Yana, and you might know her from the Instagram account Gel Cream. Welcome, Yana.
Thank you, Esther. I'm so happy to be here.
I am thrilled to have you here. When I announced that you were going to be on the show, people were like, no way. How did you manage to get her on your podcast?
Well, that was easy.
I literally was like, you want to be on the podcast? You're like, yeah, sure. So why do you think people think you're so mysterious?
Because they don't know who I am. But they think I actually hide my identity.
Yeah.
I don't hide. I just don't like to put myself forward, I guess.
So for those listening who maybe have not seen your Instagram account, first of all, you should go look at it because it's a very visual account. It's called Gel Cream. Maybe people think that you are a little mysterious because you only show your hands, but you have like a million Instagram accounts.
I have 10 or maybe more now. I like organizing things. So everything that makes me feel excited gets its own Instagram account.
Right.
I have an Instagram account for my dog. I have an Instagram account for things I like. I have a Tumblr account for music videos I like. Everything I like. Yeah.
You organize it.
You know, mainly because I think my memory, I have a very short-term memory and I forget things really quickly. So I would just save it so I remember.
So how do you describe Gel Cream to somebody? When somebody's like, what do you do?
It's a really hard question because I don't know the answer. It started as just my hobby. Now for me, it's a magazine. I treat it as a proper magazine, even though it's based on Instagram. I have stories which are like front of book content, you know, when they have the shopping pages, like some historical articles in the magazine. And my feed is like the main of the magazine where they have editorial shoots and more prepared content.
Yes.
So I think of it like this and I follow my strict rules of magazine guidance. So I don't post something that doesn't fit into my guides of posting, which is sometimes a little complicated, but in general I like it because it's organizing me as well. But yeah, Gel Cream is a beauty magazine that I review beauty products, talk about history of beauty, and remind people to drink water.
You do remind people to drink water, and it's actually every time I see you being like, you should drink more water, I'm like, oh god, I really need to drink more water.
Yeah, people say it's really helpful.
Tell me about your love for beauty. When did it start and what do you like about it? Because you don't actually wear
I don't makeup, wear much makeup
really.
I worked in magazines and I worked in the fashion department, but every time I saw the beauty editors just receiving all those beautiful bottles, and they would surround themselves around, like trying them, testing them, smelling them. So curious. And I was actually kind of jealous because our fashion department didn't get as many little nice things. That's when I first was curious. I would go to them and be like, hey, how does that work? What is this? It's a beautiful bottle. What do you do with that? But it didn't go further than that. I do remember when I got my first money, I was like maybe 12, 13. I would go and buy lipstick. My first purchase, I think, was a beauty purchase, but probably because it's something I could afford.
Yeah.
Because it's like the first thing you buy, yeah. And then when I moved to San Francisco, I moved to America in general, and I saw so many beauty brands that do not exist in Europe. And I lived in Moscow before. In Moscow, the situation is even more sad. And I got so excited because they're so beautiful. The branding, the packaging, Glossier just started back then. And I started buying a lot and I just started learning on the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's happened like very naturally. I never was a beauty, how they call it, junkie or something.
Yeah.
I liked it as a
So you object. Don't call yourself a beauty junkie?
No, I think if it's not Gel Cream, my routine and my beauty bag is super minimal. I literally use the same products every day. I learned actually the less I use, the better. So.
Well, that actually brings me to our first question. This is a call-in show, so let's play the first caller.
Hi, Esther and Yana. So I've been thinking a lot about sustainability recently, and I realized while I was trying to Marie Kondo my beauty collection that I only needed maybe 2 or 3 skincare products, which is crazy because I have so many and I I've used so many over the years, but I realized that only using a face wash and my P50, even in the middle of winter, is actually all I need, and my skin has never been so good. And I was wondering what your opinions were as influencers who get so many products sent to and who end up trying so many things and overloading their system with so many ingredients and chemicals. I was wondering if you ever thought about it and if you ever felt sick of just trying so many things and having so many different products.
This is exactly why I post once a week, because I cannot test a lot of products, and I usually try makeup or masks or something that I can get instant effect and opinion. When it comes to serums and more specific treatments, it's always a problem, because to review it, you need like at least 4 or 6 weeks to notice any change. I had a time when I ruined my skin by trying too many products. Also, part of it because I didn't have enough knowledge, I guess, on how to mix and what not to mix, how to use. You learn on your mistakes, I guess. And honestly, it's a little scary how Instagram now pushing those millions of products, and people don't even think what they use. They just buy them and layer them.
Do you think that we're living in a time where beauty culture is just overload, next big thing, next best thing?
Yes, and also they use a lot of weird marketing for this, trying to find a way to push it. And partially this is why I left Instagram for a couple of months, because I just could not look at it, and I felt myself like, oh my god, I have so many products, I have so many things that I feel like I don't want to show them, and I don't want people to be like, oh my god, I need this as well. Because honestly, you don't. And my favorite post that I did was like maybe a few months ago with an empty hand, where like as a reminder that you don't need anything, because actually you don't. When you're healthy and happy, you can just wash your face, put a moisturizer on.
Right. So one thing I love about your Instagram account, and what I'm sure so many people love, is that you have no ads and no sponsored content. And that's one thing that I don't do. I do a lot of ads on my Instagram. I do a lot of sponsored content. So let's talk about that. What do you think of people like me who are doing tons of them?
I respect how you work and what you do. It's amazing. And I think I don't even compare, because we're different. We're taking different approaches, and each of them should exist. I love that you are so open about your gifts and advertising content. I respect that, because that's actually makes me trust you, because I know that you're honest with your posts and opinions. Whether still on Instagram, a lot of people are not being open about, yes, what's been gifted, what's been paid for.
Well, there's new laws in the UK that says that you have to disclose every time you've been gifted something from a PR company. And I know that you get sent a lot of stuff from PR companies as well. And we were talking about how getting sent a PR
package
doesn't actually
mean much. Yeah, that's true.
I think sometimes the audience thinks because we're sent something, we feel like we need to review it, but it's actually quite the opposite.
And the saddest part, we don't know when and what we receive. You just come home to a boxes of things,
yes,
you never asked for. And it's a little annoying also, because then you have to think where to donate it, or
Well, it's kind of like one of those things that I don't think a lot of bloggers really talk about, but like the amount of products that we get sent, it is sick. It is actually gross.
I'm tiny comparing to you. I receive maybe 1-2 packages every day.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a teapot. Like,
yeah, it's the most random things, and we don't ask for it.
Yeah. And huge packaging, all fridges. I received a mini fridge with beauty products or something. Like, I don't even know how to use it and where to put it. So it's, I think that's a big issue. Also, what makes me sad is the brands who use huge marketing budgets, because it always makes me think, like, isn't there a better way to spend your money than sending those fridges?
Yeah.
Or crazy.
Absolutely.
And
there's so
things.
Much waste. Honestly, I've been away from my apartment in London for 4 days, and I have some builders redoing my bathroom.
We all saw it.
Everyone knows. Yeah. It's a big, big story. EL renovates. And the contractor actually texted me a picture, and he's like, "You've been getting a lot of mail." And I was like, "Yeah, I know." And he showed me this picture, and it was honestly all over my kitchen table, probably like 25 huge parcels, and I have no idea what they are. I've actually started emailing PR companies asking them to stop sending me the products. I know it's like a first world problem, but it's actually quite suffocating. So this caller who says, you know, he's trying to Marie Kondo his life, I am trying too, and I physically can't.
Yeah. I sometimes just ask for one, two products that I actually interested in, and I usually choose by what I want to buy myself.
Right.
So I prefer to contact the PR myself and be like, "Hey, I love your mascara. Can I just see how it works? And can you send it to me?" I don't receive just the mascara. I usually receive 20 other products with it. Thank you. But also, a lot of waste.
It is.
This is also why I like to support little companies where, you know, the founder, you know, that the founder really worked hard on it, and they don't have those millions of dollars to spend on influencers, on marketing, that they actually have maybe like 20, 30 extra bottles that.
What I find so strange is when a company will send me, no lie, 30 different foundation colors in full size bottles.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I don't know what to do. It's really crazy. But if you don't do ads, you don't do sponsored content, what do you do?
I photograph, consult brands. I found a ways to work with brands by not doing ads and sponsored content, because they like my content, and I help with other brands' Instagram accounts. I shoot for them. It's not just beauty brands, actually. I work with few beauty jewelry brands, with some food and beverage brands. And it's been really interesting, because I moved to America three years ago without knowing anyone. And I have so many friends and just work contacts. Everyone I know in my life now, it's through gel cream and Instagram, which is amazing, because I started it from my bedroom, literally. And you can just create something that will bring so many amazing people and work opportunities to your life.
So you're sitting in your room and you're thinking...
I had a skylight in my room, and it was beautiful. And I bought Sandy Riley Luna oil. Beautiful packaging, beautiful oil. Never had a blue colored oil before. And I photographed it in my hand, and I posted it to my personal Instagram first. Got 9 likes. Thought, "Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand me." And then I was like, "Wow, I just like the style of those pictures. I want to start a new one." I was looking around. How do I call it? I think I was on Barney's website, and the page with gel cream was open. Maybe La Mer, or I don't know, something gel cream. I was testing other names before. Everything was taken. Gel cream was empty.
And it makes me think, how was it not taken? It's the perfect name.
And I love it, because it's so straightforward and simple. I think it describes me also very well. So I started it the same day. Everything in my life, I think that's how everything works. I just get the idea and I'm like, "Oh, yeah, let's do it." It's just important to get it done, because a lot of my ideas just stay there.
I can't even imagine what other ideas you have in your brain.
Yeah, but that was really great, because I was just having fun. And Russian Magazine reposted it, then Into the Glass reposted it, then Estella Lund reposted
it. I feel like I somehow found your account really early on.
Yeah, I think I had 9,000 or 7,000 followers.
Yeah.
And I was at home, and then I started seeing a lot of people adding me, and I was like, "Whoa, what is this?" I couldn't find where the source is, because I didn't see the tag. It didn't appear on my notifications at all. I spent maybe 12 hours trying to figure out. I had to ask people like, "Hey, where did you see?"
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Well, I can't remember how I came across it, but I remember seeing your account and thinking, this.
Thank you.
This is you were something so else. Nice.
That was my first time someone I didn't know, like you didn't know me. And I was like, oh my God. Because I think you mentioned it on your stories, then you mentioned it on, thank you so much. But I was, for me, was like, wow.
I just, honestly, when I saw it, I've been on the internet for a really long time. I've seen a lot of Instagram accounts that all look exactly the same, and I'm part of that. Like, I'm not dissing it. I'm part of it. But I think when you see something that's really special, it's clearly unique and it's very creative and it's just in its own world, I just couldn't keep it to myself. I was like, the world needs this so much. And then when you posted something like, thank you, Estee, or something like that. I was like, oh, I fangirled so hard.
I think it comes from my background because I worked in magazines and I know how to create content. And I have this very old school approach where you actually work hard on creating content. I love old magazines. I like Harper's Bazaar of Brodovich times when they had those beautiful illustrations. They actually had a lot of hand, which I realized after. So maybe people ask me, why is this your hand? Honestly, just because I have my right hand and my left hand and the camera. So no one else knew me. So that's how I start taking those pictures. But I always loved the hand. I always loved those beautiful perfume campaigns, you know, the lipstick campaigns, nail polish ads were from the 60s, 70s, where they would... So I think this is why it's a little different from other accounts, because I didn't think of Instagram as of Instagram. For me, it was just a platform, like a website or like a magazine, printed magazine, just a platform to show your work.
I think that's such an interesting point, because when people think of Instagram, they're like, well, this is what an Instagram account is. You know, and I just think you're already putting yourself in some sort of a box, and you looked at it as a platform.
And you see other people, how they do it, and you try to follow For me, it's just basically my magazine based on Instagram. And I spend a lot of time creating stories, designing them as well, because I have so much respect for my followers. I love them so much. They're the kindest people. And I always think, if I'm on the other side, what would I want to see? How would I want it to be presented?
Yeah.
And this is why I always try to put enough effort to show my respect to myself and the readers.
Wow.
So yeah. It's been a fun, amazing journey. It's so great after you work in the magazine and having editor-in-chief, directors, to have your own page that you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's ultimate freedom.
Partially, that's the where Noah Ads concept coming from, because I worked for Vogue, for example, as a jewelry editor. All I had to do is support our advertisers. Hey, I found this amazing jewelry brand. Can I photograph it? Can I include it? No, it's not an advertiser. We have to put Chanel and I don't know.
Since you say that Gel Cream is kind of like a magazine for you, but on Instagram, where do you see paper physical magazines in this world? Do you think they're still important? Would you ever want one?
It's an interesting question because I do like paper magazines. However, I feel like nowadays there is less and less space for them. And there are a lot of things happening when magazines can transfer this feeling of paper, smell of it, and just the general aesthetic through web. There are some few websites and few publications that really try to use websites and other media to give this a little bit of tactile feeling, even though it's not, because it's a web page. So I feel like there is a future for that. But with the printed magazines, I do buy some. I don't even read them. I just love to have them. It feels good. I collect old magazines as well. But unfortunately, I feel like it's also a waste of paper.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same. I love the idea of them. I do buy them sometimes if it's like really beautiful. But then I find that I never actually read them.
Yeah, and also you buy ads.
You buy ads.
Half... one third of the magazine.
I mean, that's true. At least you're not buying ads on Instagram. It's free ads.
Yeah. But if there was a magazine, that's why I prefer books or fashion books or art books, because there are no ads.
What kind of books do you read?
Well, lately, obviously, I read books about spirituality and self-growth. Yeah. It's my period of time. I didn't read books for a while. I don't read novels, really. I usually read something, autobiographies, or I like reading about people and learning how they made whatever they made. And a lot about startup cultures and just learning about money. That's my weakest thing about life.
Learning about money.
Yeah, because in our country, I grew up in Moscow, in Russia. There's no education about how to save money, how to deal with money, and how to start your company, how to properly navigate with money. So I read a lot of books about business and about how to understand money.
That's really interesting to me, because on a personal level, I know that you're not driven by money.
I'm not driven by money, but I want to learn how it works. That's why maybe I'm not driven, because I'm so scared. Partially back to the no ads thing. I'm not motivated by money. Yeah, I'm interested in the idea and in the concept, and I want to live a nice life. Like, yeah, I want to make money, but it's never been something that can make me change the way I do and what I do.
Right.
With gel cream and with just living in America in general, when I came here, I had no idea about even taxes and how to save money, how to just spend money. I would spend everything I have. I still do. So that's what I'm trying to understand, because having a monthly paycheck, it's not wealth. It's not how you make money. I just want to have this understanding of how to actually. Yeah.
Okay.
My research project, a new topic.
Okay, so let's actually talk about your career history. Like, actually, first of all, what was your very first job? And how old were you?
I worked at my father's company as a secretary when I was 12. That was horrible memories.
When you were 12?
I'm traumatized, yes. My first real job was, I studied in London, and when I studied, I worked at Trendstop. It was a trend research agency, so I was a trend researcher.
So when did you move to London?
I moved to London when I was 17, and I...
Russia?
From Russia. And I lived in London until I was 21, 22, mm-hmm. 23, I can't remember. Because of the visa problems, I had to go back to Russia for a couple of years. But yes, my first job was a trend researcher. Then I gave it up for being a stylist, which is hard in London because you make no money at first.
A fashion stylist.
A fashion stylist, yeah. I worked for another magazine for a few years until I got kicked out from London. It was a horrible, sad story, because I had my apartment there and I just couldn't go back.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my parents flew and they had to take all my stuff.
Oh, my gosh. So you had your apartment, you had a job, and then your visa expired or something.
Yeah, and they didn't give me the new one, and I just was locked out.
So oh, my gosh.
It's sad. And also work-wise, it was so exciting. I just started working on a proper jobs, and it was amazing. I was assisting the fashion director, Kathy Edwards, and she taught me. Yeah, she's
how do you do this? You just send an email or what?
Actually, it's funny because I send them an email I always start my jobs as an intern, because I feel like I don't know, even now, if I will like to change my career or do something, I'll be happy to start from the bottom. So I emailed them and I was like, hey, I just want to be an intern. 6 months passed by. Really sad 6 months. I didn't have a job. I thought I'm useless and I'll never find a job again. They replied, hey, can you come in today? I was like, okay.
And you were like, yeah.
And I came in. I was super prepared. I had my CV, portfolio and everything. And they were laughing. They were like, oh, are you applying for an intern position? Because you're over. I was like, yes. So yeah. And I was an intern there for 3 months. And back then I didn't know how to email people. It was so stressful. I couldn't talk on the phone. I was really scared to call someone, and I had to call a lot to request samples for the shoots or just a lot of communication. And I was terrible at it. And I guess that was the best school, because in university I studied for 3 years in London. They didn't
teach us this.
Wow. And that's when I learned.
So then you were working.
I had to move back to Russia, and I worked for Vogue as a jewelry editor
in Russia
for two years, I think. And then I moved to San Francisco for family reasons, and I didn't have a proper job because my visa, again, it's so hard for us, not just Russians, but for people who are not part of cool unions.
Yeah, I mean, visa problems, it's so frustrating. The things that we could do if we didn't need visas.
I feel like I lost a few years in my life just because of those bureaucracy issues. So I moved to San Francisco, and I worked for a fashion brand consulting and doing wholesale and just doing everything because it was just few of us. The brand is based in London, so I would travel to London a lot. That's how I met, as remember.
Yeah.
I think 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. I don't know how it happened, but you said you were in London or something, and I was like, please come to the park and walk Reggie with
me.
We
went to the park and we ate
a bucket.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was cool. And there was also a weird exhibition in a...
That's right. That's right. There was an art installation in like the bottom of a church randomly.
Yeah. So I think my whole life, my job, like overall, was to create mood boards, think of the concepts, making things happen, organize shoots, style them. Never been a photographer, but always knew how I wanted to look. So when I'm on the shoot, it was terrible to work with me because I was like, no, do this, do that. So I think now it's like great because I'm in total control. Am I control? Do I sound like a control freak?
Well, I mean, I always think that I love control freaks, especially when they actually have the skills to back up the control. So now you live in LA and you don't just do gel cream full time. You do a few other jobs as well, right?
Yeah, I do a few other jobs. Some of them are not related to gel cream at all, which is, I find it stimulating because it makes the other part of my brain work. Excel sheets, the emails.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go to the office. It's great and it organizes me. Mm-hmm. So... Well, yeah, but I feel like nowadays the more and more of my work is related to gel cream somehow.
Do you feel a calling towards gel cream?
Oh, yes. When I started it, I didn't think it's going to become this big part of my life because I already had another 10 Instagram accounts. So yeah, I was like, just one of them. Yeah, and now I travel and every day I meet someone whom I just became friends online through gel cream and... Yeah. No, it's amazing. I feel like it's going to be more and more and more and more. And I have big plans, but, you know, I have a lot of ideas, hopefully.
It seems like you do.
It's just one big problem making them all come to real life.
So we've got another question. This is actually from a friend of mine, Jessica.
Hello?
Hi, Estee. This is Jessica here from London. I'm so excited that you've got Gel Cream on the podcast, as I'm a huge fan. But what I would love to know as a social media manager is, where do you get your inspiration from daily? And do you ever get in a creative rut? If so, what do you do in this case? Thank you. Bye.
I do have problems sometimes in being creative. My ideas are usually just appear in my mind when I see something and then I'm like, oh, this is like with the water reminders. I was just drinking water and I was like, why don't I drink it more often? And I was holding the glass on the sun and I was like, oh, that's actually a cool story. I'll post it. So it's very organic. But I do get inspired a lot by fashion, by photographers, by people, a lot by people. When I meet someone and a person is super passionate about music, about movies, I start watching those movies and listening to this music and it will open the whole new world for me. But there are times when it's hard and when, for me, I feel like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but sometimes I just don't see the same. Sometimes I see everything super nice and beautiful. I want to take pictures of everything. I'm just always on my phone with my camera. Sometimes I just don't feel like it. I want to do something more analytical and less creative. But it's okay.
Do you consider what you're doing art?
I don't really think it's art. I think I'm good at making art commercial, if we can put it that way. I think what I managed to do is to make a very understandable product that people from different countries, different backgrounds can relate to when it's also beautiful. And I put a lot of attention to music I feature, to like heroes and characters I feature. So I wouldn't say it's art, but I'm definitely inspired by a lot of art.
I think one thing that you just said earlier about, you know, having an idea and it comes organically. Sometimes I have an idea and I think, oh, that would be really cool. Like, usually it comes when I'm on a plane. That's when I get my best ideas. And I usually like write it down on my phone. And then when it comes to executing it, I just don't.
Yeah, it's my biggest problem.
So do you think that's the hardest part?
Hardest part.
It's not actually coming up with the idea. It's actually
yes.
just doing it.
My problem is finding the right people and actually managing the process. If I can execute the idea myself much easier, I'll probably do it. I also noticed that personally, I enjoy working with people and having some direction when my time is managed by someone else. So when I'm just alone at home and I have a whole day ahead of me, I'll probably do something I shouldn't be doing
right.
instead of work. So it's just really hard to organize yourself when you are on your own. And that's my biggest problem, because I feel like having a co-founder is so important in anything. And maybe if you have someone you can bounce
yeah.
your ideas with and who can actually help you be like, hey,
yeah,
remember, just let's do it.
Let's do this. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be so much easier.
So you mentioned that you really have one makeup bag with like a few products.
Yeah.
Do you have Holy Grail products?
I do. And honestly, everything I used before gel cream. It's very simple products like Bioderma, micellar water, Trish McEvoy mascara. It's just, I think, cult products, which I'm not the only one to use. I like the simplicity. I like when I know that I can touch my face during the day and nothing would happen.
Yeah.
I like that I can travel with it without any surprises. You know, sometimes you go somewhere, take a new product and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. Yeah, so I literally have 5 products maybe with me. It's blush, concealer, mascara, and something to remove the nail polish, because I love nail polish. Okay. And the moisturizer. Yeah, I can live without serums, without any extra.
What's your favorite lip balm?
I use now Dr. Jart.
Okay.
But I'm super easy with lip balms. I live in LA and it's a little
yeah.
less dry. So people ask me, what's your favorite hand cream or lip balm? I don't really use
it's not like an special, essential.
But when I'm in New York now, I'm really struggling.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling. But and the worst part, I have so many at home, but I always need it when I don't have one, and I would go to CVS or
exactly.
anywhere and just buy
yeah.
whatever they have.
So what does Yana Gel Cream do in her spare time?
I have a dog.
You have
I
a
love
dog.
Him. And we would go for walks. I love researching things, so I sometimes pick a topic and I go on a YouTube digs on it, like music or like an artist from, I don't know, a particular artist
yeah.
or movie director, and I would watch all his movies, just picking one topic. And
then do you retain that information?
No. I forget. That's why I have blogs and things, and I write things down, because it's so sad. I consume so much interesting information and next day
yeah.
I'm blank.
Well, you are such an open person, and I wouldn't say you talk a lot, but you have a lot to say, if that makes sense. And everything you say is really interesting. Like last night when we went out for dinner, I could have just listened to you for hours and hours and hours. And it makes me wonder, were you always this way, or is this a post-ayahuasca?
I was always this trait. Way. Okay. I mean, before ayahuasca, I was a little more silent for a year or two because I was thinking things, but I was always a little enthusiastic and I talk a lot. I think it's from my childhood, because my parents didn't really listen to me and I had like 1 second to fit in so much information, and since then I'm like, what about this, what about that? But ayahuasca really returned me to that point where I'm happy and I want to share, I want to talk.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of questions about your ayahuasca experience, so let's play one of the questions.
Hi, I'm Mar from Barcelona. I have been following both of you for a long time now. Gel cream, I recently learned that you had an experience with ayahuasca, and it's something I've always wanted to try, but I'm a little scared of what the outcome may be. How was your experience with it? But most importantly, how's life after ayahuasca?
Great question, because you should be scared, and it's not for everyone. I don't advertise it or advise it to everyone. For me...
Wait, let's back up. Yeah. What is ayahuasca for those listening who do not know?
You should Google, because there is a lot of information online. In short, it's the plant medicine that some plants are brewed, and you drink it in a special setting with shaman. The ceremony lasts for 6 or more or less hours, and you it's a psychedelic, and you can see things, you can learn things about yourself. It's different for everyone. Some people have greatest experience, some people don't see anything at all.
Is it illegal?
It's illegal in America, but it's legal in some countries.
Yes.
So yeah, and it's helping you reset your mind, brain, to get rid of just trash. For me, at least, that's how it helps.
It helps you purge negativity.
For everyone is different, okay. But in general, yes. And it helps you remove those thinking patterns you have, some childhood trauma for some people. You just relieve also some things from your childhood, for example, and you're not scared, or you don't have it on the back of your mind anymore, and you live a happier life. Not for everyone. Not everyone.
Yeah.
It's not beneficial for everyone. Some people have very traumatic experience on the ceremony, and it actually can be both ways. I decided to do it because I somehow was hearing about it from different people, and they all said it's like 10 years of therapy in one night.
Do you do therapy?
I tried therapy. I couldn't find the therapist I would trust.
It's
and
the
love.
Same for me.
I really tried, but it didn't work out. Maybe in the future. But yeah, and I was at this point of my life when a lot of things were happening, and I was a little lost and upset. I was researching it for a long, long time online, reading a lot of books, watching a lot of movies. Got really excited, and I felt like I needed, because I got obsessed thinking about it. And accidentally, one of my friends was going to a ceremony, and there was one spot left, and it felt like magic, felt like super smooth. Yeah. And I went. Night before, I couldn't sleep. I thought I'm going to either die or go like literally crazy.
Were you scared to take it?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Because...
Do you drink it?
You drink it, and it's not very pleasant taste-wise. You drink it, and then there are 30, 35 people. It's a maloca. You lay down on the mats, and then things start to happen. It was a beautiful ceremony for me. Everything happened. I cried. I smiled. I purged. Really, really beautiful. And I felt so calm and grounded after it, and just generally happy.
Are you quite aware during it?
In general, yes, you are. You can go to the toilet if you want. I had an eye mask. If you take it off, you can see people. You can. But I think I was passed out all the time. I was just, I didn't stand up. I didn't do anything. I was just there, far away. You see a lot of things, but you have to have a clear intention why you go there. You have to have a question or a reason why you're there. For me, it was just to find myself, find love, and be comfortable with myself when I'm alone. Mm-hmm. It worked.
So it's the day after your ayahuasca experience. You wake up and what
For
do
me,
you think?
It was the day after. I woke up and I had this new voice in my head. During the ceremony, I saw myself as a kid, and I was crying in different locations and settings. I would come to myself, I would hug myself, and that felt really, really good. And after the ceremony, I would talk to myself in a really new way, like a mother talks to a child, I guess. I was really stressed, and I was like, oh my God, I have to go home. I have to book a flight back to Los Angeles because I cannot be here anymore. And then this voice is like, Yana, you're just tired. Relax, don't stress. You cannot fly anywhere. You're really tired. And every time I have this moment of self-doubt or just like being mad at something or getting upset, there's this voice, and it just calms me down and gives me a different perspective on the problem. And that's something I'm so jealous of people who have it like all the time, because I didn't. Every time I do something crazy or every time I make a mistake, I would punish myself to the point where I just cannot, I cannot do anything. I just freeze. Wow. But yeah, since then it's been 2 months, I think, two, maybe 2.5. I never felt sad or lonely or anything, because every time I start getting those feelings, something inside my head tells me, hey, you are you and it's all you have. All you can do is take care of yourself, work hard, just listen to some music, go get like a nice dinner.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to try ayahuasca since I first heard about it. A lot of my spiritual advisors think it would be good for me. I'm not quite there yet, though.
You don't rush it.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, I really thought like that's my last resort. That's all I can do. And I need to do this just because I could not get rid of my thoughts in any other way. It was really harmful. But it really helped me. Maybe it's also because I really wanted it. And I had so much on it that I was like, if that's not going to help me, how will I get away from here? And maybe that's why it was so good, because I had like expectations that it just could not fail. I was like, it's going to work. But yeah, I made a tattoo after the ceremony, because there was this moment where a shaman was standing next to me doing something, and I actually felt like the energy is going back and forth. I never did Reiki or anything, so for me it was a first draw because of psychedelic. It was the first shaman interaction, first thing of this kind. So
you went deep real quick,
and it was a little like I'm still high. I feel like I still have the effect. It's been 2 months.
Yeah.
I always smile, and I think of life in a more lighter way. I love everyone.
Yeah.
When people say something which before I would find like offensive or weird, I'm like, no, I love you. Like,
yeah.
Why? I have so many new explanations to how people interact, how word is made.
It's so accurate. Honestly, I can really speak to this because last night you came to the bar and you met my really good friend Claudia, and within 25 seconds you turned to me and said, I love her so much.
I think that's another thing. You realize you see world from, I don't know, from far away, and you realize how beautiful people are, and you want to tell them this. Like, honestly, not because you just want to be friendly or I don't know. You actually think that. And I also noticed that I now am attracted to people's imperfections more than good things, because I feel like when people are struggling, when they're trying to do something, maybe it's not happening, when they have their insecurities, it's so beautiful when you can see this, because it's so real.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, if you're someone who's gone through any sort of trauma or, you know, difficulty in life, you are a little softer with other people that you meet. I mean, I feel like when I meet people, it's the same sort of thing. When I see the imperfections, most of the time I just think, I recognize it, you know?
And I love when people accept it and then don't try to hide it, because I think that's so beautiful. And we all have
trying. Oh my gosh, we're just trying.
And as back to Instagram game, like how destroying is that when it's one thing and then in real life it's not completely different one, but it can be.
Yeah, well, we were actually talking about how I and you kind of have this thought of, you know, no filter, because I had a moment a couple weeks ago when I said, you know what, I should just stop using all filters on my Instagram. I don't even know why.
Before I was really into, I mean, I still am, but I loved editing photos and making everything look perfect. Now it kind of faded away. And on my personal one, I stopped doing anything, and it feels good. It feels like I just don't want to spend time on this. I just want to share the emotion, not like the picture. I don't know how.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't know. It's been great. But if you're thinking of doing ayahuasca, definitely do a lot of research and definitely do it with the right shaman and group of people.
Absolutely. I look at gel cream and I think it looks like something I've never, ever seen before in the beauty space. Do you think it's so far off from what currently exists in the beauty world?
I don't think so. There are more and more accounts that post very, I call it slow media content, where you don't post too super regularly, you post nicer content. That I don't think it's very different. I guess it's up to the reader to decide.
Yeah.
I just do what I do. I'm having fun doing it.
Well, what do you think? And I feel like I get very defensive of you and your creative process. So when I see people doing Instagram accounts that literally look exactly like yours and they're not crediting you, I get so mad about it.
I don't get upset when I see other people doing something similar to Gel Cream because I feel like the same idea can come to different people at the same time. If they got inspired by my profile, it's amazing that they have something to do and be happy doing this. I guess a lot depends on why they do this. If they're just having fun and it makes them happy, I'm happy. But if it's something with the wrong intention where they want to make money or they want to receive a free product or they just think like, oh, okay, so she did this. This is how I become.
Yeah.
Big. I know. I also know a lot of people take the same pictures. They send it to the advertising agencies and they're like, oh, she doesn't do ads. I'll do ads for you. And they offer like similar photo style. And they're like, oh, we'll do the same thing that she does, but you'll pay us.
Yeah.
So that's a little upsetting, but what can I do?
If somebody else is getting inspired and is having fun with it, it's really only a positive.
First thing I wanted to say that you actually have twins. You have people around the world who look like you and they have...
I do?
Yeah, I mean, I see it on the internet and once... I mean, you do. And this is crazy. How do you feel about this when they copy? I wouldn't say it's copy,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, the word is
when,
not copy.
Yeah, it's not the right word. But when... they love you so much that they dress like you. They have the same hair. They have the same tattoos, maybe. They have...
Well, yeah.
What do you feel when you see a person that it looks like you?
It's really funny because nobody's ever actually picked up on it except me, I feel like. Because when people tag me, I'm like, you look a lot like me. I think in general, I love it. I think it's cool. And I think like I don't think I have particularly amazing style or anything like this. So when somebody is like, wow, you look awesome and I want to look like that, I really am flattered by it. The one time I was not was when someone literally got the exact same tattoo as me.
Oh, it actually happened?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In the same place. That was probably the only time that I was like, ah, that doesn't feel nice. That didn't feel nice for me. But, you know, whatever, to each their own. But that was the only time when I wasn't flattered. I think that was because this tattoo is so personal to me.
Yeah.
But that was the only time. But honestly, I am very, 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 very flattered by it.
That's cool.
Yeah. A lot of people want to know specifically how you shoot your pictures, what camera you use, how you get this shot, where do you get your lights, how do you figure out how to hold your hand, and what is the deeper meaning behind the imagery itself? Let's start first with the technical.
I like that it flows from the previous questions from Instagram accounts that look like mine. I'll tell you everything. Well, I take my pictures with my iPhone. I right hand is the photographer, left hand is the model. I use daylight, sunlight, and there's not much secret. I edit them at Visco.
You edit all your pictures in Visco.
Yeah. And there's not much secret to it. I never, actually, that's interesting because I never prepare posts in advance and I never write up the post before. I usually write right when I'm posting it because I feel like it stays emotional. I post when I want to say something about the product.
Yeah.
So I use like a toothpaste and I'm like, oh my god, this is a cool toothpaste, or I hate it, and then I would take a picture same moment or like next day and I would write the text when I post it. I never have anything prepared, like I don't know what I'm gonna post tomorrow.
How often do you post about things you don't like?
Sometimes.
Do you really have to hate something to say something negative?
No, sometimes I like the brand, but this particular product I didn't like. Not very often, because I feel like there's not many products I actually hate. Mm-hmm. Or I always find something that I like and don't like. There are a few brands that I love completely, but usually it's something that makes me question something, or one product is amazing, another one not as good. But yeah, I also try to support smaller companies. So if I didn't like something from a small brand, I won't post it at all.
Right. What's one brand that's standing out to you right now as doing something interesting and different?
Yesterday I met with the founder of Acton Acre. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. That's the hair care company. They just launched 6 weeks ago. And I just love her approach. I love how she cares deeply about what she does. And they try to innovate in formula and packaging. They really care about what they're doing. And it's always nice to meet people, and it's always nice to meet brands that are made by a real person, not like a corporation, or they have like really nice vision and mission usually, and they really care about the product because they don't have money to market it or to just send millions of...
Yeah, it's really full of passion. So what is next for Gel Cream?
Keep posting.
Keep posting? That's all you're going to give me? Come on, girl.
Some things are coming. Some things I'm working on. I want to... I'm just trying to make at least 50% of my ideas come to real life. And I would love to do more products. I did the t-shirt just for fun.
Are they coming back?
I don't know yet. I want to change the design a little bit.
Do you have a graphic design background, or is that just your natural eye with all these fonts you use and everything like that?
I'm super inspired by pizzerias, Italian pizzerias of the like 80s, and the fonts they used before. I have this huge Pinterest with all the old packaging and all graphics. So I love, I think I combine different styles together. And I'm super tired also of the simple design, this Byretta kind of style, which is beautiful, but I feel like it has no emotion, or the emotion is very cold and clean. Whether I like something that you like can giggle about, or you can just be like, what is it? But I love it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Well, I know this was a really long podcast, but I felt like I had to try to do you justice. And I mean, I just know that everybody listening to this is like super excited about this episode. So thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find you besides at Gel Cream?
On my personal account.
Yeah.
At YANASH. But please don't expect me being a beauty guru there. I post about my dog a lot. So if you like dogs, you're welcome. I post about music, and I just dance sometimes in stories. So it's not very interesting.
Do you think I should come up with another Instagram account that's like, you know?
Yeah. I suggest everyone, that's my advice for everyone who I see passionate, just start an Instagram account.
Yeah.
I don't like Instagram as a whole, but I feel like it's such a great way to get yourself out there, because I saw so many people finding themselves by creating a page, finding their hobby food-wise, like food bloggers.
Yeah.
Or, I'm thinking to start a new account with shuffle dancing, because I like dancing. So I just want to wear different sneakers and just dance to music. Yeah. That's my new thing.
I love it. I actually love the video you posted recently like that. Do you think we're putting too much on the internet? Are we revealing too much about ourselves?
It's very personal. Whatever makes you happy. Sometimes I don't want to reveal at all. I don't. Sometimes I feel like I want to talk to people and I just want to say something. Sometimes what you reveal makes other people happy or helps them with their problems. And that's important. When
that is so true.
With you as well. Like there are a lot of bloggers that share their personal life, and it's super helpful when you're going through something similar. You're like, oh yeah. And I think there is a big trend of people being real and not just showing their outfits. Whether at some point I feel like it's also fake. Yeah. A lot of people being real by faking it. But you just have to feel it. It's funny how it's now you have to actually feel a person through a digital page. You have to, and people have to find a way to show their real me.
If we even know what the real me is.
Yeah. That's the hardest part. Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
That's when you start thinking about ayahuasca.
Exactly. And it always comes back to ayahuasca. Okay, let's have a second goodbye now. It's really time to leave. Thank you so much for listening. Bye, Yana.
Thank you. Bye. Are you recording?
Yeah.
Hi, Asta. It's Yana. I have some questions for you.
The speed round. Go.
Esther, tell me quickly, without even thinking about it, how is your life going right now? Are you in a happy place?
Oh God, not really.
Why? You look very happy and smiley and beautiful.
I've always been very smiley. I've always been a happy person on the outside, but inside I'm always sad. Feel like I am struggling with a little bit of inner turmoil. I've always been this way.
Interesting, because your page and your all of your channels, they give us so much positive energy and light. Mm-hmm. And how do we give it back to you so you feel a little happier?
Stop leaving mean comments.
How long are you single?
I've been single for like a year, and it's had its ups and downs, but it has been very, very fun. I have taken really a couple months to kind of chill about the whole thing.
Yeah, being single is interesting.
When you look for somebody to date, what are you looking for?
I look for someone with big personality.
Yeah, big personality. Okay, just wanted to double check. We're talking about personality.
Big personality. I love people who inspire me. I'm meeting new people, and everyone has their passion. And this is amazing because it makes me think different things and makes me opens to me different parts of the world that I never thought it would open. That's why I love different guys. Like diversity.
You have no type.
I have a type, the weirdos, but it can be from, it's a very broad type. So yeah, I like someone who knows what he likes.
Yes.
Who has a passion and doing something with his life.
Yeah, I'm also really attracted to the weirdos.
It's so important, and it doesn't matter what it is, and it can be music, it can be art, it can be just like a crazy, I don't care. But I love when a person has a passion and knows something.
Yes.
Which makes me think, like, do I have a passion? Probably
gel cream. I was just going to say that. I was like, well, what the fuck's my passion?
Yeah. Probably gel cream. But I feel like I'm a jack of all trades, which is sad because master of none. And I don't really know something deeply enough to be like that's
the
where
expert.
I'm special. Yeah, expert in. I want to make beauty this, but because it's so interesting learning about the ingredients and going into scientific parts of also so complicated without a chemical degree. But yeah, that would be fun. But that was something I questioned myself because I met this guy who is really into music, and I was like, what is my favorite music? What do I listen to? And I realized that I get so busy. Or just like, I listen to rap music, but it's not my favorite music. And he made me realize that when I was 18, I listened to, I don't know, Bauhaus, Talking Heads. And I was like, whoa, this is maybe my favorite music.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Like, I think people you meet help you understand yourself better. So being single is fun because you meet a lot of people and you learn about yourself.
You really do. It's the best part. Speaking of Talking Heads, my mom always used to play Talking Heads when we were kids, so I had a soft spot.
I wasn't so inspired at some point that my press photo, I'm wearing the huge blazer.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's not gray though, it's black, but this is where it comes from. And I feel going back to gel cream and my inspirations, I was working in the environments when you treat fashion and just image production with so much respect that you cannot just copy. You take references from everywhere. You translate them through yourself, and that's how you come up with something new. And I feel that's an interesting difference when now people just copy and paste, or they don't credit the idea whether you can be inspired by different people and by different things. You just have to put it through yourself.
Yes.
And create something next level.
Yes.
That's when it's evolution. Otherwise,
and that's when it's respectable.
Yeah, because everything owes something to something else. It's not my quote. Everything came to the world because of something else. Object or art. You listen to a song and it made you feel something and you drew those pictures. Or I don't know. So everything is connected, and that's why you just have to be respectful with the process.
This is a weird question, but what kind of underwear do you wear?
I just found this. It's going to be an advertisement, but there is this new startup. I have a very big size. The breast size is huge.
I was very surprised the other day to see a picture of your massive cans.
I hide it well.
You really do.
Because I don't identify with this. I feel like a very flat-chested person, but I have huge boobs. It's size G.
They're massive.
It's 34G, and it's really hard because I go shopping for bras and I cannot find anything. Everything looks like medical bras, something I don't want to undress. And it's very, yeah. I found this new brand that they do basic, very simple bras, and they do all sizes. And for me, it was like, I bought every single style
like
they have.
Is it cotton or what's the fabric?
It's mesh, black mesh bra with no lace, nothing, just very simple. I like very simple.
Yeah.
And I wear, I wear Uniqlo. I wear very basic brands. I love things that cannot tell who you are and when it's harder to say where do you belong. So I don't really wear prints or like lace or yes. Very feminine.
Is it always black?
Nude or black.
Nude or black. When I go on dates with people, I am hoping that they're from planet Mars.
So you wear like red lace.
Well, no, I don't wear red lace, but I love mesh. I really love mesh.
I'll send you the link for the bra. It's really good. But I like experimenting. Like I also realized that maybe I like cosplay. Can I say this?
Yeah.
I feel like when you're single, you feel so free. And when you meet different people, you kind of want to be yourself and have fun. So I feel like with different guys, I'm a little different. So with one, I feel more confident in one way, and I would totally wear red lace underwear.
Or with some people, I feel like certain things work better. Yeah.
And with some, I just don't feel like it's
appropriate.
I just don't feel like it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
Anything else?
What kind of underwear you wear, Esther?
Well, recently...
None.
Recently, I've been in a rut, and I've been wearing gigantic, boring underwear. Cotton, black.
Cool.
From ASOS.
Cool.
That's when you know I'm not getting any. Because I'm like, cool.
Do you shop often?
For underwear?
No, like in general. Do you buy things?
Clothes? Do I shop often?
Claudia's laughing.
She's like, yeah, every day.
I don't think I shop often, but I do shop often. Yeah.
Where? What's your favorite online?
Like, here's an example of how I shop. I don't plan to go shopping. I'll go into a store I like and buy a million things.
Do you still buy things in physical stores?
Yeah, that's when I like to shop.
What was the last
store? I went to this store in Brooklyn, Motion, which is my favorite. And I bought a bunch of homeware items, vases.
Cool. For your EL
EL renovates. Yeah.
That's cool. So exciting to see your house being remade.
I'm really excited. Maybe you can come photograph it.
Not photograph it, just hang out and have a drink.
Can we wrap this up? I'm late for yoga.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Are you a yogi?
Sometimes I'm more into Pilates.
Oh, really?
The machine one.
Oh, that's cool.
Reformer. Yeah.
That's big in LA.
It is. Yeah. I just like that. There is a machine. It's fun.
Do you do like cardio, like boxing and stuff?
No,
like
I die when I do cardio. My heart is not good, I think.
Okay.
I don't like sweating. And
when you go swimming, what kind of swimsuit do you wear?
I like one piece. Black. I'm really inspired by 90s supermodel style. Very simple. Yeah.
Why do you think people are so fascinated? And I know I'm not the only one who's like, what do you do in this scenario? What do you wear in that scenario? What is this? What is that? Like, why do you think people are so obsessed with you?
Are they? Maybe you are obsessed. I don't think no one asked me. No one really asked me many questions. And I also noticed a lot of people add me my personal account when they find me. And then they delete me straight away because they're like, oh, she's not what I expected. She's not. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like... I don't know, maybe because I don't think about things and I just do them, and it's interesting to like understand why I do things, because honestly I have no answer. I never think about what I do.
And do you drink coffee?
I do now, but I didn't drink for 2 months. Just I didn't want to, but I do. I feel like I drink it just for the taste and the routine. I don't really need
what
it.
What kind of coffee?
I'm energetic enough. I drink either coffee with milk or latte.
Yeah.
I don't care.
With regular milk?
Yeah. I eat everything. I eat, dairy products. I eat meat.
Wow. Nobody says that publicly anymore.
I know. I sometimes, drink Coke. Like
you drink
I drank a can of Coke in the past 2 months, definitely once. Yeah. This is something like I try to avoid, but I do eat sugar, try to eat less, but yeah, I mean, I drink alcohol.
What's like your favorite thing to eat? Like, what do you eat for breakfast? Burger, I love burgers too.
For breakfast, I eat, I have this bagel broker place near my home. That's where I go. I eat a bagel with lox and cream cheese.
Wow.
I just like the place. I feel, for me, I didn't grow up in America. And for me, everything that looks American, something I saw in the movies, it's so exciting. I just like to experience this life. So I would like drive there wearing my, I don't know, slip-ons and just buy a bagel with a coffee. Or the first thing I did when I arrived to America, I went to a donut shop and get a donut with a coffee like firefighters do.
Do you think you're always going to live in LA?
I don't know. I try not to think much about this, to not get attached to the city. I love it, but I love London. So I don't know. I like New York. I never been in this area of Brooklyn. I really like it. It's very calm. And
yeah.
Estelle is late for her yoga class.
Yeah, I'm late for my yoga class. I'm going now.